I've never spoken to Nasrallah about it, and I haven't met Ahmadinejad, and I haven't actually tried terribly hard. I don't know. I mean, there, you know, Fadlallah once, the Sayyid Hassan Fadlallah, Muhammad Hussein Fadlallah, the so-called spiritual chief of Hezbollah, as AP always puts it, but he's not actually. He's simply a very powerful and eloquent priest in the south of the southern suburbs, or was in the southern suburbs when it existed. And he once said to me that Lebanon is a lung through which Iran breathes. There's the answer to your question.
Robert Fisk, Chief Middle East Correspondent for the London Independent. Part 2 tomorrow. DemocracyNow.org, our website, has our tour. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And a very good evening to everybody. It's WUSB Radio. And you're listening to... Sorry, you're listening to a very confused person right now because I just ran in. It's time once again for Off the Wall. And I guess the main reason I'm confused is because everything's working just great. It's amazing. No technical problems so far. Of course, I only did just begin to speak, so there's all sorts of possibilities. I do have to say, though, this week I am armed, okay? I got a little angry last week when all sorts of things started malfunctioning. And I have to say, you know, it's turned into a real issue here at the radio station. We're getting our heads together, and we're going to figure out a way to get this place as upgraded as possible. If you happen to find yourself in a radio station right now that doesn't, say, need its broadcast console, please contact us, because we need one. A good one, not a crappy one, a good one. Like the one we've had for the last 150 years or so. I hate to say bad things about this board, because I grew up on this board. And, wow, it's... things do get old, though. You have to move on, so... Yeah, we're looking for replacements on all sorts of pieces of equipment. Tax write-off, you know, non-profit organization. So if you're out there, you have connections of any sort, please, it would mean a lot to a lot of people. But I am armed this week, as I say. If there are further problems, I'm prepared to do something about it. All right, I'm prepared. If I have to go off air to... you know, to fix something, rather than have the awkward silences of last week, I had to do something else, something that I think might be even more painful for some people. But it's basically what we call in the radio business as, we refer to as audio fill. And so if there comes a period where I have to go off mic to deal with something, instead of hearing silence, you're going to hear this.
I feel you.
Okay, so, you know, that's going to happen, all right? Maybe that's just incentive for anybody who believes in God to pray as hard as they can that nothing goes wrong. It might be incentive for people who are near the station in case they hear something go wrong to catapult themselves up here and fix it. You know, whatever it is, or just appealing to the gods themselves or fate or what have you to just make sure it all goes smoothly, because I will play that, and that will play in its entirety if I have to go fiddle with something in the back of the board or reconnect something or build something from scratch, as has had to happen a couple of times. It doesn't make me happy to do this, all right? It's not something I was plotting and scheming and cackling evilly when I figured it out. No, nothing like that. It's just, it's necessary, all right? It has to be done sometimes. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, action is taken under certain situations. Okay, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, we do want to take your phone calls at 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And please, we want to hear from the new people out there. Well, we know the campus is opening up again because had a dickens of a time getting here because everybody's unpacking their stuff. Got the parents here, you know, going to give it another try, another semester of school. Eventually, this place will give up the school part and just stick to the football part, and then we can get on with business. But for now, we're going through the motions, and people are going to be attending classes, presumably. Hopefully, a lot of them will be joining the radio station and making this an even better place. That's what I did. You know, when I came here, originally the understanding was that I would be attending classes, you know, going to a room, hearing some guy at the front of the room speak about various things, and then go home, try to figure out what it meant, come in and be asked a bunch of questions and write down the answers and get a single letter and carry that single letter with you to your grave. That was the understanding. But when I actually got here, this place was just going on the air. And for real, I mean, it was on the air before as an AM carrier current station, but we actually had gotten a license to broadcast the most powerful non-commercial station on Long Island. And, you know, I just couldn't stay away from that. And that was my downfall. And everything else that happened since then, I can pretty much blame on this place because it served to be an inspiration of so many different ways. So hopefully a lot more people will be taken in by that as future semesters happen here at Stony Brook. But yeah, for now things are very busy around here, and it's good to see that. It's good to see that kind of activity. But there's activity all around the world, too, and that's sort of what we talk about on this radio program. And the reason I mentioned that was I would like to hear people from campus call us, in addition to the people all around the world. We'll get calls from Europe and from Asia and from Australia and who knows where else, particularly Australia this week because of the interesting news developments. But I'd like to hear calls from campus, too, if there's anybody there. And, you know, it's easier for you. You don't even have to use the regular phone network. You don't have to go out at all over AT&T or Verizon or any of the Ma Bell remnants. No, you can just stay here on campus. All you have to do is dial five digits. Yeah, you just have to dial 26901 and it'll get through. Or 29872, that'll get through. Either one works. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. It'd be good to hear from people on campus as well as around the world. So, let's take a look at some of the things that have been going on today in the world. Actually, not just today, but for the last few days. We all heard about the case of the wildlife guy in Australia, and that's why I'd like to hear from some of the people there as well, if anybody is up at this time, whatever time it may happen to be over there. Can anybody say they're that surprised? I mean, the guy is always pissing off wildlife one way or another, either by, you know, grabbing crocodiles or saying things to lions that they'd rather not hear. But who would have ever thought, you know, a stingray of all creatures, of all God's creatures? I don't think there's ever been a case of a stingray killing somebody. I know that probably has been, but man, this is the moment for stingrays. Anybody who's into them, they've never been in the news so much. You know, of course, it's not that difficult to anticipate. The whole first half of their name indicates what they do. You know, stingray, stay away from these things. But you know, when you're Australian daredevil guy that deals with all sorts of challenges, I guess, like holding your one-month-old son or whatever it was next to a snarling crocodile and saying, no, there's no danger here. Yeah, you can't have, you know, anything is fair game. The whole animal kingdom pretty much could have been his downfall. So it was surprising, but not entirely surprising. And it's sad, too, because this definitely was one of the good guys. You know, he really was into what he did. He was into conserving nature and protecting animals. It's just the way he went about it, you know. I saw an interview with him where he basically would go away into mountains or whatnot and encounter poisonous snakes, you know, wild poisonous snakes. And the question, it was a simple question, you know, did you ever, Steve Irwin, did you ever take snake venom with you to protect you in case you got bitten? He said, no, I've never done that. I can't do an Australian accent. Yeah, I've never done that because I've never been stung and I never plan on being stung. And what a stupid thing to do, you know, what a stupid thing to say. You're not that invincible. Anybody can get stung. They can sneak up on you and sting you in your sleep. Who knows? Why not bring snake venom with you? Is that the right term, snake venom, or is that what they sting you with? I'm not sure. Whatever it is, the antidote, you know, the thing that that will keep you alive in case you do get stung by the snake. But no, he wouldn't do that because he was so confident, so untouchable, that it didn't apply to him. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. A lot of people make this mistake that they think they're the laws of nature don't apply to them. Well, here's here's indication that, in fact, it does, and it can come from one of God's strangest creatures. How many of you had even seen a stingray before all this started to happen? I mean, they look scary enough, don't they? I think they're wacky-looking creatures. But again, you know, the name itself, it's a warning, and you should take these things seriously. Just like, you know, I was walking in the mountains once, somewhere in the middle of America, some godforsaken place. I was with a friend of mine, and this herd of ram are walking towards us. And my friend is like, "Don't worry, they're not gonna do anything to us. They're friendly." And I'm like, "Have you lost your mind? What is their name? They're called rams. Why do you think they're called rams? You know?" It's like, you know, flies, not very much imagination, but that's what they do. They ram, they fly, they sting. Dangerous creatures everywhere. They may not look that dangerous, but they are. So anyway, today, of course, this is what I knew was going to happen at some point. It was revealed that, yes, in fact, video exists of this poor guy being stung to death. And now the big debate is whether or not they're going to release the video. Of course they're going to release the video. You know it's going to come out somewhere. Maybe it will come out without authorization, but it's going to come out at some point. Videotape of Australian crocodile hunter Steve Irwin shows him pulling a deadly stingray barb from his chest just before he died. Irwin's manager said he was being videotaped diving on a reef off Australia's northeast coast. For a television show, he told Australia Network 10 that Irwin managed to pull the barb out of his chest, but said it was too late, as the poison had already entered his body. He then went into cardiac arrest, and the footage of his friend dying was described as terrible, which is, of course, what's going to make it such a compelling draw. It shows that Steve came over the top of the ray, and the tail came up, spiked him in the chest. He pulled it out. The next minute, he's gone. That was it. Cardiac arrest is not listed as a normal symptom of a stingray sting in Medicine, or actually Medline Plus, the online medical encyclopedia of the National Institute of Health, the U.S. National Laboratory of Medicine. But they note that although most victims recover within 48 hours, death has occurred when the patient's chest or abdomen was punctured. So, yeah, a bit of a freak accident there, but you knew that some agent of nature was going to get him at some point. Okay, so that's, again, anybody in Australia, I'd like to hear your viewpoints on that particular item as well, because it sure is fascinating to see these things happen. Sad, but fascinating. Another interesting thing, which I sure hope is going to come to fruition, Democratic senators will try to present a no-confidence measure on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to the full Senate sometime tomorrow in an effort to persuade Bush to sack the outspoken Pentagon chief. Are they actually going to pull this off? That's what I want to know. You know, are they really going to be able to unite, say something strong, and get a reaction? Now, of course, the Senate Republican leadership may prevent the vote on the measure, but that's going to put them in a rather uncomfortable position of expressing full confidence in Donald Rumsfeld, and that could hurt them during the elections. So you have a kind of interesting little tussle here. But the real question is, will it actually come to this? Will they actually stand up and say something strong, which is what the Democrats never seem to do? They never seem to do this. And maybe this is finally the wake-up call that they've been missing all these many years. Okay, what else? Going to the war zone. An Army investigator has recommended the death penalty for four soldiers accused of murder during a raid in Iraq. Yeah, it's come to this now. Lieutenant Colonel James P. Daniel Jr. made the recommendation in a report obtained Saturday by the Associated Press. He found several aggravating factors that warrant a sentence of death in the case of four soldiers accused of killing three men during the May raid in the Salaheddin province. Staff Sergeant Raymond Girard, Specialist William Hunsaker, PFC Corey Cleggett, and Specialist Justin Graber, all the Fort Campbell, Kentucky-based 3rd Battalion, 187th Infantry Regiment. All these numbers. Do they really use all these numbers? I mean, that's a lot of Army. That's a lot of a lot of military going on there. 3rd Battalion, 187th Infantry, 101st Airborne Division. Or are those different things? You know, it's more confusing than British soccer. It really is. Just all these divisions and regiments, infantries. What are they all doing? How many of them are there? Anyway, all these people have been accused. The soldiers have claimed they were ordered, listen to this, they were ordered to kill all military-age males during a raid on an island on a canal in the province. According to statements from some of the soldiers, they were told that the target was an Al-Qaeda training camp. But get that. Kill all military-age males. That is exactly the kind of order Saddam Hussein would have given. Exactly the same kind of order. Now, I want to know more about this. You could kill these people, I guess, and then they'll be silent and they won't say anymore. But is there actually more to this? Were those orders actually given? Is that the kind of tactic that we're using over there? I can't say I'd be incredibly surprised if it were, but wow. It just shows you how bad things have gotten over there, how bad we have gotten over there. And it's words fail me on this one, really. And of course, people in the military are listening. You're welcome to call in as well, but you got to call in during the hour that we're on, not 12 hours from now. So yeah, this kind of thing seems to be happening more and more, and I guess it's good that it's being discovered, but are we really investigating it all the way to the top to find out what it's really all about? Wow. And of course, this is interesting too. We had a tape released last week. Yeah, this tape came out that has someone who is known as the American Al-Qaeda representative giving an actual talk. This guy talked for something like 45 minutes, and he introduced the, I guess, number two in Al-Qaeda to talk for about 5 minutes. He introduced him and then came back to give a bit of a speech. What we have here today, we actually were able to grab some of this. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what this guy says. It goes about 5 minutes because it's not just what he says. It's the way he says it. And there's something about it that just really bothers me. Not the fact that we're listening to somebody from Al-Qaeda speaking with an American accent, but I don't want to poison the well by giving you my impressions of it just now. I'd like for you to listen to this, all 5 minutes of it, and then let's see if we agree on various interpretations of this, because I don't know, when I heard this for the first time, I was speechless. I'm speechless a lot lately, but this was really, really kind of wacky. So let's take a listen. The American representative to Al-Qaeda speaking to us from somewhere, I believe in Pakistan, in a tape that was released late last week.
We send a special invitation to all of you fighting Bush's crusader pipe dream in Afghanistan, Iraq, and wherever else W has sent you to die. You know the war can't be won, and that the condition of America's war machine is going from bad to worse. You know you're considered by Bush and his bunch of warmongers as nothing more than expendable cannon fodder, a means to an end, as evidenced by their mass mailing of rubber-stamped form letters of condolence after your buddies died for them, and by their callous recall of the meager compensation they paid you, those of you crippled in the wars. You know they couldn't care less about your safety and well-being, and that the only thing that upsets your leaders when American forces suffer casualties is the damage these casualties do to their popularity and the popularity of the wars they started, which is why they cover up these casualties as much as they can. And here we challenge investigative journalists like Seymour Hersh to reveal the extent of this cover-up and let Americans and the rest of the world see for themselves the cowardice of the current regime and see what you American soldiers already know too well. And you also know that brave Mr. Bush, safely ensconced in the comfort of his air-conditioned Oval Office, will happily keep you in the trenches for the rest of his term, and that he doesn't care one bit about what the military thinks, as evidenced by his recent rejection of retired and serving officers' demands for Rumsfeld to go, and his blithe dismissal of their concerns about the way America's crusade is going. And you know that whoever takes over from Bush probably won't have the guts to bring the troops home for several years at least. You know you've already killed enough innocents to make Genghis Khan recoil in horror and revulsion, and that the atrocities you committed at Hadith and Mahmoudia, and your brutal suppression of the demonstrations in Kabul and mass casualty carpet bombing of Nowzad, Panjwai, and other towns in southern Afghanistan represent only a small part of the larger, bloodier picture. You know that if you die as an unbeliever in battle with the Muslims, you're going straight to hell without passing go. And you know that your military, political, and religious leaders will be of no use to you and will disown and abandon you on the day when you meet your Creator. So instead of killing yourself for Bush or killing yourself out of despair and depression or guilt and remorse, why not surrender to the truth? Escape from the unbelieving army and join the winning side. Time is running out, so make the right choice before it's too late and you meet the dismal fate of thousands before you. And in this regard, I can't tell you how delighted I was to receive news of the embracing of Islam by a number of U.S. soldiers at the hands of the Muslim Mujahideen imprisoned at some of the American concentration camps which blacken the globe. And I ask God to benefit Islam and Muslims with them, and that he make them role models for their comrades. And I advise them to take every precaution in practicing their faith and making good their escape from the oppressor army, lest they suffer the persecution meted out to those soldiers who openly proclaim their rejection of American terrorism and crusader values while still within the reaches of military authorities. May Allah free them. As for those who have expressed their respect and admiration for Islam and acknowledged that it is the truth and demonstrated their support and sympathy for the Muslims and their causes, like George Galloway, Robert Fisk, and countless others, I say to them, isn't it time you stopped sitting on the fence and came over to the side of truth? Anyone who pays any attention to the messages of the leaders of the jihad, like Sheikh Osama bin Laden, and Sheikh Ayman al-Bawahiri, may God protect them, will know that they have been consistent in inviting the Americans and other unbelievers to Islam, and impressing upon them that they want the best for them, and making it clear to all that we have no choice but to fight those who fight us, and that were the matters in our hands, we would prefer that all Americans and other unbelievers end their aggression, abandon unbelief, and accept the truth. Islam encourages us to invite even the most obstinate enemies and give them a chance to repent and save themselves from humiliation in this life and painful punishment in the next. But what really is surprising is that some among us want to suffice with invitation alone, without resorting to self-defense when the enemy insists upon aggression and wanton destruction. I have tasted both the darkness and ignorance of unbelief and disobedience to my Creator, as well as the light and perception afforded by true faith in God and obedience to Him. And I assure you that there is no comparison, and that despite, or rather because of, the atmosphere of battle in which we live, and the continuing conflict with the forces of the Crusaders and their hired hands, I thank God every day for guiding me to Islam, and guiding me to join its victorious army, inshallah. For were it not for His grace, I could very easily have been one of those unfortunate souls fighting the losing battle for the other side, or blindly living the life of debt, debauchery, and doubt they call the American dream.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Debt, debauchery, and doubt, the American dream. That is the voice of a guy known as Adam Gadan. He's from California. And now is supposedly part of Al-Qaeda. He introduced, in the rest of the 40-minute or so talk that he gave, he introduces Al-Qaeda's second-in-command, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. And I haven't seen the whole tape. I don't know if I can see the whole tape. Maybe someone out there can show me where it is. But I don't believe that Ayman al-Zawahiri actually acknowledges this guy's presence at all. Now, I think that's kind of significant because it implies to me that these two actually aren't even maybe in the same country and perhaps have never even met. But there were so many things about that particular talk that just really got to me. They bugged me in a number of ways. First of all, it's really, really bad. You notice how what a bad speaker this guy is? I mean, he keeps stumbling over words. He keeps stumbling over words, and he keeps like repeating the sentence as if they were going to edit it out or something afterwards, and they don't. He keeps making all this noise with his mouth that just makes me want to strangle him. but more importantly than that, okay, the guy is not a good speaker. Not particularly intelligent, saying a lot of stupid jingoistic things. But let's look at those things for a second. I mean, okay, he refers to W, you know? He uses that very familiar-ish type of way of speaking that so many people here who criticize the president do. Okay, so right away he's putting himself in that camp. He's one of these lefty type people that are saying disrespectful things about the president. Yeah, that's how we view him now, because of the way he's talking. He's saying that exact thing. And right after that, what does he do? He says kind things, relatively kind things about people like Seymour Hersh, George Galloway, Robert Fisk. People who have been outspoken in such things as criticizing the military occupations overseas, in basically uncovering horrors like Abu Ghraib, as Seymour Hersh did in The New Yorker. Now, these people have been real thorns in the side of the Bush administration. Now, what better way to get at these people than to somehow ally them with Al-Qaeda? And what better way to ally them with Al-Qaeda than to have a spokesman for the group actually say something complimentary towards them? Now think about it. If you're a member of Al-Qaeda, why in God's name would you want to do that? Why would you want to castigate the people like that and make everybody say, wow, you're friends with these scumbags and yeah, you're just as bad as they are? It seems almost like this guy, in his talk, is confirming everything Bush said. By saying that, yeah, by criticizing the administration, you're lending strength to the enemy. Well, here they are pretty much saying the same thing. Yeah. And then they come out and they use words, or he comes out and uses words like comrades. Comrades, that's not really an Islamic term, is it? It's something that harkens back to the days of fighting communism. And we all remember what that was like. And we had a glorious victory in that fight. And everybody was happy. And thank God for the Cold War. Well, here it is again. We have another enemy calling us. We're referring to various people as comrades. So it must be the same thing. Now, let's get really simplistic and say that there is only one truth, and that truth is Islam. And, of course, we hear soldiers all over the place embracing Islam so that they will not go straight to hell without passing go. I mean, how much more simplistic and jingoistic can you get? And then ending with the whole debt, debauchery, and doubt, the American dream. And it just sounds to me like, yeah, you know what? We don't like freedom, and we're fighting your freedom. We are just as bad as you've been told. Here's the proof. This is Eurasia, or is it East Asia? Who knows? But we're exactly what your leaders have told you we are. And we're going to speak to you in a nice American accent to prove to you that we can come from within as well. We could be your neighbor. We could be your parents. We could even be a part of you. You got to be careful. You got to listen. You have to obey. So you see, this simplicity, this stupidity, and it's definitely stupidity, if this guy actually is a member of Al-Qaeda to say these things, it's extremely stupid because it just fosters up hatred all the more. And if he's not really a member of Al-Qaeda, boy, is this stupid because it shows just how badly they make things up. And the fact that there doesn't seem to actually be a connection between this guy and the real leaders. I mean, yeah, the tape, and we don't know anything about this process, how it works. The tape is delivered, and you can tell, looking at the two pieces, that, yeah, you know what, they use the same captioning software, because they have the same font, and they have the same bug, whatever bug they used, to identify, I don't know if it's a production house or a TV network or what, but that was placed there. So obviously that was produced in the same place. Beyond that, how close were these two people? How close were these two recordings? That's what I want to know. Opens up a whole lot of questions, and these are things that we never seem to get answers to. So, yeah, you know, I think if we just pay a lot of attention, analyze these things as they come out, it's I'm not a conspiracy nut here. I'm just a regular nut, but I'm not a conspiracy nut because I believe that conspiracies cannot really hold forever. They can't. I mean, look at all the horrible failures of past months, years, decades. Think of how New Orleans could have been handled much better if there was a really tight conspiracy, and there was no reports getting out of any anything really bad or horrible happening there. But no, the reports got out. How about the search for weapons of mass destruction? Well, if there was a conspiracy, they would have found them. They would have found the weapons of mass destruction. But you know what? They couldn't pull that off. They couldn't pull that off. And that's something I feel like I could have pulled off. You know, I could have planted weapons someplace and said, hey, look, here are the weapons. But they didn't do that. Why not? Maybe they're just not that smart. Maybe they're just not that good. I hesitate to say maybe they're not that evil, because I do think they're that evil. But the point is, we can't always look at conspiracies as the reason why things are not turning out the way we want them to turn out, or things that we can't explain. Every plane crash does not mean that it was fired upon by agents of the U.S. military or something like that. Yet, and this is what bothers me, the same people are always the ones who claim that it is. I have conversations all the time with people, and it always seems to be the same ones. Yeah, flight TWA-800, that was taken down by a missile, and the planes didn't really crash into the World Trade Center, or if they did, that's not what brought the buildings down, and the other plane didn't crash into the Pentagon, and the fourth plane was shot down. It's like, you know, couldn't at least one of those things not have happened? You know, they all have to happen? What kind of world is this? I just don't think that conspiracies can be covered up perfectly forever. Somebody is going to say something at some point. But boy, you know, there are a lot. I love conspiracies. I love listening to them. I love arguing about them. But, you know, when I talked about Columbine a few weeks ago, I got all this mail about Columbine. And one of them actually points to all this conspiracy about Columbine. You know, it seemed like a simple enough thing. High school kid goes on a rampage. Two high school kids go on a rampage, shoot everybody, kill themselves. What could be simpler? But apparently there is a lot more to that. There are people whose stories were not taken seriously. Apparently there were snipers on the roof firing into the school. Reports were not listened to. For instance, here's a piece from a website someone sent us. The police were not interested in asking Mark Taylor for information about the attack. More amazing, one of the policemen admitted that he was under orders to allow the shootings and let the victims die. Mark Taylor provided some information to the police. The police ignored it. Half of the students didn't show up for school that day. At the hospital, the kids' parents were told to keep quiet about the attack because there may be additional killers on the loose who will come after them if they talk. Donna Taylor says the hospital received a phone call on a special government phone line. I've been in hospitals. I never see that line. And believe me, I'm looking for it. The caller warned the hospital that there would be a shooting in a couple of hours at a school. Immediately after the shooting, they started Columbine Connections. They were ready with psychologists to convince the victims and their families to take psychiatric drugs to calm them down. That sounds like Scientology is getting involved here. And then it gets really wacky because apparently Zionists had a role in it. And here's how it goes. The Zionists sacrificed a lot of Jews during World War II in order to help Israel get established. Did you know that was the reason? That was why the Holocaust happened, so that they could start this nation and eventually get a good team together and win the World Cup. That's what it's all about. But more on that later. Was there any Zionist involvement in the Columbine attack, or was the Columbine attack committed entirely by Goyim? I can't make this up. I really can't. An interesting coincidence is that Donna Taylor, who keeps coming up in this, discovered that both of her grandmothers actually were Jewish. Oh my God. Wow. Mark Taylor has become interested in reading the Torah and is hoping to become a rabbi. What in God's name? It just gets nuttier and nuttier. Is it possible that the Zionists selected Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, Mark Taylor, and or other people to be victims because they were Jews who were of no value to the Zionist movement? Yeah. I could go on, but what's the point? You know, there are interesting questions to ask. There always are, and you should always approach things with a grain of salt. But occasionally, you know, the bus just keeps on plowing down the hill, and you got to get off at some point. Here's another conspiracy. This one has always bothered me, probably more than any other one. There's rumors of a conspiracy of a 13th episode of Fawlty Towers. Yeah. Lost 13th episode called The Robbers. Now, one of the people that claims this to be true says, I have absolutely no idea why the 13th episode called The Robbers has never been aired. I only know that I saw it once in Bill Morton's flat, not far from Piccadilly Circus, on a particularly wet evening. Hadn't it been for this, I might myself have doubted the otherwise striking authenticity of the script reproduced in a book. Yeah, the script is out, but the episode remains hidden for some reason. As things stand, I can only assure the reader that the show, as far as I remember, was amazing. Rarely have I seen John Cleese and his crew reach such continuous heights of sublime entertainment, and the only reason I can see for not wanting this episode to reach the fans, are you ready, is that it would perhaps create the false impression that there was so much more to wring out of the material, whereas in fact the 13th episode represents the ultimate solution to the problem of how to carry this tormented universe to a happy end. I mean, come on, does anybody believe this? As concerns the reason for never admitting its existence, let alone airing it, I must refer the reader to the BBC. They should know why. And poor Bill, the last time I tried to call him, he had a parrot recorded on his answering machine, exclaiming something obscene, which I'm not going to say. But it seems simple enough. You contact the people who are in the show. You contact members of the audience, because they were all recorded in front of an audience. Does anybody remember this? So far, nobody has said anything. And while it's something I would like to have, you gotta be realistic here. So yeah, TWA Flight 800, World Trade Center, Fawlty Towers, Columbine, all the major conspiracy theories of the 21st century and 20th century too. they're fodder for interesting conversation, but I don't know how much else. Website of the week, something I just discovered, which I have been completely captivated by. This is kind of an extension of what Wikipedia is able to do. You know, we're able to basically compile all these facts based on people's input. And somehow, this is something I never expected to happen, somehow it all becomes accurate. I refer to Wikipedia now more than I refer to Encyclopedia Britannica, which I never refer to, because they always get things right. They had information about Steve Irwin's death like 10 minutes after it happened. Updated information, accurate information. And if you put in inaccurate information, it somehow gets corrected. There are people watching this all the time. It's kind of scary, but they're always there. Okay, this website here basically identifies things for you. You answer a bunch of questions, and in a remarkably quick amount of time, it tells you what it is you're thinking of. It's called 20Q.net, 20 questions. And I inputted, I was thinking basically, of a stingray the other day. It was right after the Steve Irwin thing had happened. I was thinking of a stingray. And so it asked me all these questions, maybe about 13 or 14 questions total. And a lot of them were nonsense questions. You know, like, is it made out of wood? is it able to drive? You know, things like that. But, you know, some of them, I guess, indicated that it was in the water and that it had a tail. But I was knocked off my seat when the 14th question was, is it a stingray? Because I could not figure out how it figured all that out so quickly. All right, so let's pick an animal here. All right, question number one. Is it classified as animal, vegetable, mineral, other, or unknown? Okay, what are we going to think of here? Let's think of, how about a lion? Nice and simple, a lion. So we're going to click animal. All right, next question. Does it have claws? Yes, a lion has claws. Can it swim? Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, of course, a lion can swim. A lion doesn't like to swim, but I'm sure it can swim. Never heard of a lion drowning. All right, so yes. Can it save your life? No, I don't think I would call on a lion to save my life. Are there many different sorts of it? Many different sorts of a lion. Many different sorts. I'm going to say no, because even if there are 10 different sorts, that's not a whole lot, but I don't think there were that many. Does it usually hunt for food at night? I think it does. And again, sometimes you get these things wrong yourself, and it yells at you later because it says, that's not how I understood it. So I'm going to say yes, it hunts for food at night. Does it roar? Oh, boy. See how quickly it got there? 7 questions. Does it roar? Yes. Is it killed for its fur? I think so. I think we kill everything for their fur, so I'm going to say yes to question number 8. Does it have striped fur? Well, a tiger has striped fur, but a lion does not, so I'm going to say no. Does it live in grasslands? Yes. Does it live in groups? Yeah, they do, don't they? Is it spotted? No, it's not spotted. That means it's not a leopard. Does it have spots? And that's kind of weird. It asked me if it's spotted, and now the second question is, does it have spots? I just said no. Does it perform? What does that mean, does it perform? Oh, does it perform in shows? Well, you had that guy in Vegas that almost got killed by a performing lion. So yeah, I guess you could say they perform. That's another instance of somebody who just did not appreciate the danger of a wild animal. Does it live in the forest? Yes. Mightiest creature of the forest, I suppose. Does it live in mountains? Mountain lions? Yes. I am guessing that it is a mountain lion. Okay, you know, that's not too bad. I didn't mean a mountain lion. I meant a lion, but it got it in 17 questions. All right, that was a pretty simple one. That was a pretty easy one. Let's pick something else. How about something around here? What can I pick around here? You can't be too specific. Like, you can't say, you know, a CD, a particular brand of a CD burner or something, or a patch bay. You can say, how about a compact disc? What do you think? All right, let's do a compact. What's the button for play again? I can't find that button. Oh, I have to say it's right. Yes, you're right. Okay. And this is what I disagree with me on the line. It said, you said there were not many different sorts of it. I say there were. Okay, fine. So let's play again, and we're going to indicate a compact disc. Okay, it is classified as other. It's not animal, vegetable, mineral, so it's other. Could you send it in the mail? Yes, you can send a compact disc in the mail. Do Do you use it at night? Yes. I mean, I'll say sometimes, because you use it in the daytime as well. Can it add? No, it cannot add. Is it made of plastic? Yes. Is it a type of fish? No. Is it green or black? I'll say sometimes. Is it used to record an event? Oh, that's a good question. Well, no, not the kind I'm thinking of, because the kind I'm thinking of is an actual recorded compact disc, not one that you record onto. But again, a compact disc. I did say compact disc, and you can record onto a compact disc. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say sometimes. Does it usually have four corners? Well, not a compact disc. That's round, so I'm going to say no. Does it have a hole in it? Yeah, it does. Is it electronic? Ooh, that's a good one. Is it an electronic? It is in an electronic device, but is it actually electronic? No, it's not. It has zeros and ones on it, but no, it's... Oh, that's tough. I'm going to say no. Do you put things in it? No. Does it make noise? Yeah. I mean, it makes that little screeching noise, but also, obviously, it has noise on it. I'm going to say yes. Is it human-powered? No. Does it come in a pack? Yeah. Is it used with a computer? I'll say sometimes. Do you use it with a computer? Okay, yes. Does it make music? Yes. I am guessing that it's a CD. 19 questions. This thing is pretty cool. This thing is pretty cool. Okay, our telephone is not ringing, so please give us a call, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Let's hear your opinions on things going on in the world. And that site I was just playing with is 20 questions, www.20q.net. It's something that you can get completely... Yes, addicted to, like I have been in the past couple of days. Let's look at some email that we've been getting over the past week or so. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Dear Emmanuel, if you get so mad and you do walk away from the station, I would never do that. I said that last week because I was getting overly frustrated. But as I said, this week I have a weapon in case something does happen. I have a means to deal with it. But if you get so mad that you walk away from the station, remember you have podcast listeners. Yeah, I say you need to shift your focus and get with the times. Buy some recording equipment and set up your shows as podcasts, even with live call-ins. Then you can take the show to the station and play it back. You can go do whatever you want for an hour. Be free, young man, be free. Well, you know what? There's magic in radio. And I think enough people don't realize that these days. And I hope that radio becomes relevant again, because a lot of it has become irrelevant because of the stupidity of commercial radio. But that's a whole other issue. Yeah, you have your iPods now. You have your MP3 players. You can listen to a million songs of your choosing. So why in God's name would you ever need a radio station? Well, they're out there. And maybe, you know, maybe the commercial radio people will give them up. They give them back to the people, and we can... do radio to our heart's content and have good signals that spread all over the country. I think there's nothing to compare with listening to the voice of a local radio station, you know, telling you something happening in your area. And it's sad when we move away from things like that. Okay, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
I had a question about how you got your smart car.
How I got my smart car?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a valid question. What's the question?
I know they don't sell in the U.S. I think they're going to sell a new version soon, but I think that's going to be, like, heavier and has less miles per gallon, so.
Well, no, actually, they are going to sell the smart car, I think, in the beginning of 2008. You're going to be able to get the two-seater, the kind I have, I guess an updated model. I have a diesel version, so it gets better gas mileage just on that alone. Mm-hmm. And the way I got it was simply by having a friend of mine in Canada purchase it and retain ownership of it and simply lend it to me for occasional jaunts across the border, which tend to last for a couple of years. So if you have somebody you trust, you know, it's a question of they have to trust you.
Yeah.
Because they have the insurance on it, so you could rack up their insurance if you're a careless driver.
Like, insurance flaws when you have it in the U.S., like, since it's from a different country? Or?
Well, you're allowed to drive your car, for instance, into Canada, all right? You're insured. Your insurance will cover that. And if you drive somebody else's car, their insurance covers that. So My insurance that I have here covers me driving somebody else's car, and his insurance in Canada covers the car driving into the United States. So we're covered as far as that goes. But the other thing, he has to trust you because you could drive up his insurance rates. You have to trust him because he could accuse you of stealing his car.
Yeah.
You know, so those are two things, and that's what makes it difficult because it's not a simple thing as just buying a car in Canada and driving it over.
Yeah.
But everybody asks me that, you know, and everybody wants one.
Yeah, I hear there's a importers in California, but I think they charge a lot more.
Yeah, there's a company called Zap, and they supposedly retrofit them, but they double the price in the process, and they make people wait a huge amount of time, and then they deliver like maybe two or three cars a month to various lucky people. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh, when is the Steve Rambam conference? Or
the which?
With Steve Rambam.
I have no idea. When is that?
No, from Hope, the guy that got the detective.
Oh, Steve Rambam. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you were saying. We're hoping for sometime in October. We'll be announcing that on Off the Hook as soon as we secure a place.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey.
How you doing?
Two things. One, those 20 question things, if you throw in something like my spleen or like my kidney, dumped them before, just curious. And you might want to talk a little bit about, I have a AT&T wireless phone that I got acquired by Singular.
Uh-huh.
It's back to, of course, AT&T wireless. But it's a TDMA phone, which is being shut off this month. And they're trying to move everybody over to from TDMA to GSM.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to discuss that, but...
Well, that's more an off-the-hook discussion, and we have discussed it on that show, and we'll probably discuss it some more. But yeah, I mean, that's an outrage that they're actually doing that to people.
Yeah, well, it's not outrageous. It's just funny because I'll get signal where other people will not. Like, for instance, we just got back from upstate New York, and we were in the middle of a park, and none of my friends had signal, but yet I would get one or two bars enough to make a phone call or check messages and stuff, and that they just don't want to maintain that network anymore.
But aren't they forcing people to get new phones? And?
Yep, they're forcing everybody to switch over to GSM phones.
Right. Now, you know, what they should do is they should get everybody a GSM phone then, you know, because they're the ones making the change. They're the ones that change the terms.
I think a couple of free phones, I think three versions of the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when I get back, maybe if you guys are still on the air, I'll email you the, I think, the link to it.
Okay.
It's three versions. I have an ancient phone that takes a beating and still ticks.
Yeah.
Really why I haven't switched yet. But, I mean, it's not horrible, the inducement. I'm just very stubborn and probably won't switch. I'll probably get rid of this phone and set up, you know, J.J. Luna's How to Be Invisible?
I've heard of it.
I'm going to try and get a phone minus my social security details with, you know, a direct cash deposit.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. It'll still know your location. Good luck with that. It'll still know your location, of course, but...
Yeah, they'll still know your location, but, you know, if you're in that tight of a bond, you know, you can always smash the phone or something.
That's true. Smashing the phone is always an option.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to take another call, but what was the suggestion you had for us to enter a kidney into the 20 questions?
Yeah, try kidney. And,
okay. I think I'll try that.
Yeah, organs, for some reason, pass that very well.
Okay, let's see how that does. We're going to take another call. Thanks. Oh, they have the call left. Okay, it's back. But I just looked at, I told the thing that it got the CD correct, and it raised the following objections to me. You were thinking of a CD. Is it green or black? You said sometimes I say no. Well, I'm sorry, but if you've never seen a green CD before, you need to get out more. They do exist. CD can be different colors. So, is it used to record an event? You said sometimes I say doubtful. Well, again, okay, technically, computer, if you want to say the CD did not record the event, the CD recorder recorded the event. But then, you know, I could also turn that back on you and say the CD does not make music, which you seem to have no problem with. Is it electronic? You said no, I say yes. Well, you know, it doesn't have any electronic components in it. It's a disc. All right, enough fighting with the computer. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. It's... Nice talking to you again. Let me turn on the radio because it's behind the times. Hello?
Yes, where are you calling from?
Bulgaria.
Oh, then you don't have a radio if you're in Bulgaria. I mean, you have a radio, but they can't be listening to us.
Okay, let me turn down the sound card speaker thing
so
that I'm using.
So people are referring to the computer as the radio now. Is that what they're doing?
Sorry about that. I know you're
talking
about the radio things. But...
That's good. No, it's language. Language is evolving. So what's on your mind?
I wanted to thank you about bringing my attention to the Spike Lee documentary on New Orleans.
You got to see it?
Yep.
How did you manage to see it in Bulgaria? You downloaded it, or is it broadcast someplace?
I downloaded it from somewhere.
Uh-huh. So what were the most compelling moments for you?
I was devastated. I mean, between this movie and The Power of Nightmares that I heard about recently and some other films, it's not a good time in history, shall we say. I felt really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anything moved me as much as seeing those 4 hours over the course of 4 days for me. That film, we're talking about When the Levees Broke, the Spike Lee documentary currently airing on HBO, and I imagine available in all sorts of other places as well. It's definitely something you should take time out and see.
Something else, my mother was devastated by the news of the death of Steve Irwin, which, I mean, she came into the room and she said, "Did you hear who died?" And I'm like, "Oh God, who was that?" And she's like, "Well, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I heard about it." So it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, not too surprising, as you said, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy was so enthusiastic about what he was into, and that alone makes him a good guy in my book, but he just didn't take enough precautions, I don't think.
Yeah, kind of. I can't understand it, but oh well.
Yeah.
Too bad. As you said, one less of the good guys around.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because we definitely need that enthusiasm in anything that we do. But we also need, you know, to look at the bigger picture and realize that you're not invincible.
It's for the right things, though, not for arms.
No, definitely not for the wrong things. Yes, you're right about that.
Wars and such.
Yes. Listen, we're going to take one more phone call.
All right. Well, have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. All right. That's Bulgaria there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel. It's Brill from Newcastle, UK.
Newcastle in the UK. You're the guy we kept cutting off last week, right?
You're not going to do it again, are you?
I hope not. I'm not anywhere near the phone, not anywhere near the board. I'm staying away and just talking to the microphone. But I do have that weapon I'm going to use in case something does happen. But you have about 2 minutes before we have to sign off. What's on your mind?
Just quickly mention that 20Q website. Quite cool.
Yeah.
I tried magazine, and it didn't answer. It couldn't answer me until about 30, 31 questions.
Really? 30 questions to get magazine?
But it did come up with quite a few, you say this, I say that, but I don't know. It was asking me, was it green or black? And it said, well, I say no, but...
Well, it's based on what other people have told it in the past. That's the thing. So people might not have given it the right information. So this is only going to become better as more people use it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, did you say that think like a Brit or something? At the beginning, you have a list of different nationalities. It also asks you your age, I think. I don't know if that influences how it asks you the questions.
Yeah, that's right. It was quite good. The other thing that I wanted to mention was George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
You referred to him on one of the conferences at Hope, and I've never actually heard the guy before, but I thought he was a cracking comedian. I actually got a DVD of him not so long ago. I just wanted to mention that if it hadn't been for yourselves mentioning it,
wow,
I would never heard of the guy, and you would never have made me laugh. So
wow, that's good to know, because George Carlin is one of the most brilliant people on the planet, and just to know that we're turning people on to him is great, because it's so hard to do that over the radio since we can't play most of his material. He remains good to this day. You probably are hearing something from back in the 70s, but the new stuff is great too.
And the stuff that I've purchased was from 2003, I believe.
Okay. He has such a really enlightened look on the whole war on terror and all the nonsense we've been going through. So, listen to everything he has to say. And he has a lot of TV specials as well.
Yeah. It's just a shame he doesn't appear on the TV over in the UK.
Well, that's what the internet is for. Anyway, well, listen, we're out of time, but I'm glad we didn't cut you off this week.
Cheers.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
And the equipment held up. I guess the threat of the Titanic song is enough to get anybody to shape up, even machines. So, okay, we're out of here. Be back again tomorrow night for Off the Hook, and back next week for another edition of Off the Wall. And like I said, school has started here at Stony Brook, so what better way to go out than with some Phil Oakes. See you next week.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rising smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Oh, you've given me a number and you've taken off my name. To get around this campus, why, you almost need a plane. And you're supporting Chiang Kai-shek while I'm supporting Mao. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. I wish that you'd make up your mind, I wish that you'd decide that I should live as freely as those who live outside. Cause we also are entitled to the rights to be endowed. And when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Oh, you'd like to be my father, you'd like to be my dad, and give me kisses when I'm good and spank me when I'm bad. But since I left my parents, I've forgotten how to bow. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. And things, they might be different if I was here alone, but I've got a friend or two who no longer live at home. And we'll respect our elders just as long as they allow. That when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. I've read of other countries where the students take a stand. They've even helped to overthrow the leaders of the land. Now I wouldn't go so far to say we're also learning how, but when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. So keep right on a-talking and tell us what to do. But if nobody listens, my apologies to you. And I know that you were younger once, cause you sure are older now. And when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. So I'm just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rising smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise and I'd like to make a vow that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.